Today's sermon is titled is Victorious Through Christ. In every sense that we have said that we were going to have a school and that we were going to build on, have you noticed that the increase of the adversary's activity since that period of time, whether it be sickness or whether some of the things that families are going through or the adversity that you're going through yourself in your life, in your family, and also in your church. Paul brings out in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, unless Satan should take advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. We know the things that he does. We know that he is the tempter. We know that he is the adversary. We know that he fights and battles against as an accuser of the saints. We know that he's going to do all those things. We should never, ever be struck blind or sideways and wondering, why. I wonder why that came from. I wonder what is causing that. Satan is the deceiver. He's the accuser of the brethren, and he is the tempter. Now, I want us to turn to James chapter 1 and verse 12. We're not going to be there very long, but I want us to go there for just a little bit today. So, in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 12. In chapter 12 of the book of James, if you go over to verse 12. In verse 12, it says this. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'll say that again, let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So temptation is never comes from God. It always comes from the adversary. Satan is the tempter. God is not the tempter. In John chapter 10, if we go there very briefly, John chapter 10 and verse 10, and most of you know the scripture by heart, but I'll read it to make sure that I get every exact word that is there. But this is what it says in John 10:10. And it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And who is the thief? The adversary is the thief. I have come, the words in red, the Lord Jesus Christ, I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The thief is the adversary. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus Christ came that we might have life abundantly, and I will add the word that we would have life victoriously. We can be victorious over this life. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It's interesting because we've been in CE, we've been going through Ephesians and we just got started. We haven't even got to chapter 2 yet, but we've talked about it. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and he says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The verse 1, it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Lord is not in the business of making good people out of bad people, but he is in the business of making live people out of dead people, because you are walking in the death of your sins and your trespasses. The wages of sin is what? Death. You who were once dead are made alive. In verse 2, it brings out being a child of disobedience, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You were walking in obedience of the adversary and did not even know it. People's eyes, they're blinded to the reality of Christ because the adversary has blinded their eyes to the reality of Christ. They're walking in obedience to the adversary. They're not walking in obedience to Christ unless you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. He goes on to say, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. I was a child of disobedience, but today I am a child of obedience because I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The scripture goes on to say in verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace that you have been saved. Now listen to verse 6. And raised us together, up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are spiritually, not physically, someday it will be physical, but today you are seated spiritually with Christ in heaven. Satan no longer has a seat in heaven, but you do. That means that through your faith in Jesus Christ, you have the authority over the powers of darkness through your faith in Jesus Christ. He does not have his authority over us. We have authority over the adversary through the power and through our relationship that we have in Jesus. Amen. Are you walking in that authority today? And many times we do not. We need to walk in the authority that has been given to us because we are seated in heaven with Christ Jesus spiritually. He has given us that authority that we can take authority over the adversaries and the powers of darkness. Church, as saints of God, if we are to have a school, expand our physical church, we need to do two things. Number one, we need to put on the bonds of love for each other. We need to make sure that we're staying in love. We're doing everything that we can to love one another. And number two, you need to walk in the power and the authority over the powers of darkness through your faith in Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew 16, and verse 14, it says, so they said, Matthew 16, verse 14, this is Peter's great confession. So they said, some say, he says, who do you men say that I am? In verse 15 or 13. And he said, and so they said, some say John the Baptist in verse 14, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to him, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And verse 18, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because of my faith, death has no hold on me. I have passed from death to life. I will never be separated from my Lord and my God. Evil has no hold over me anymore, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. It cannot hold the word back. And it cannot hold the saints back. Evil, the powers of darkness, has no hold on us. I have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. In faith, I will walk victorious. Satan did not want this church built here. We can go all the way back to when we were in the lodge and all the adversity that we ran into to even have it built here at this place. Because Satan did not want this church here. He did not want a lighthouse in this area, in this community. He does not want the Word of God going out and bringing other people to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. When I asked the banker, about borrowing the money, do you know what he said? Why in the world would you want to build a church when they're closing them all over the country? And I said, because I believe that we have something to offer that they don't have to offer, because we're going to offer Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We're going to put our trust in Jesus, and we want people to come to Jesus. Saints, what does our church have? Salvation through Jesus, the love of God, the love of one another, and the power of the Spirit of God today. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 16, and I'm going to prove it to you today. Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, when you go down to verse 15, Mark chapter 16, we're going to see the Great Commission. So in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to let everybody know that the Messiah has come, that the good news is here. I am here to redeem my people. Verse 16, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Isn't that interesting? Because when you look at John 3:16 and 17, it says Jesus came into the world to save the world. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. But then you read here, what does this mean? Is this a problem with the word? Is this a problem? No, it's not a problem, because what the problem is here in this scripture, he who believes in is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, because they condemn themselves, not because God's ever condemned them. But they condemn themselves because they reject the Word of God, they reject the truth of the Scripture, and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm willing to wager that by now in this service, you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's drawing you ever closer to you, ever closer to Him, and it's up to you whether you accept it or whether you reject it. Isn't that amazing? Amen. It is amazing, because when God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would have life everlasting, you make the choice. Pastor Leo can't make it. This church can't make it. You are the one that is given the freedom to make the choice of whether you accept or whether you reject. But if you reject, you condemn yourselves, not because God condemns you, but because you have condemned yourself. You have made your own choice. He goes on in the scripture to say here, verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. There is not a Bible-believing church in the world that does not believe in the Great Commission, but they do not assign or align all of it to themselves. We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and we can receive the baptism evidenced by speaking in new tongues. Isn't it amazing that so many churches that you go to today, they don't preach over 1/8 of this Bible? They take Acts because it talks about speaking in tongues. It talks about healing those that need to be healed. It takes all of that and throws that all out, throws that all to the side. Oh, that's when they were walking this earth. That doesn't happen today. Father, brother, you just don't cut yourself away from the Word of God. The Word of God was written for you and I. It's our handbook for life. You need to believe it. You need to trust it. And you need to stand on it. Quit arguing with the Word of God and start believing the Word of God. No, the powers of darkness, and that's what I'm trying to stick with today, has no authority over us. And that is what he is sharing with us in the scripture today. Jesus transferred that authority to the church, and you as a believer today are the church. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to go back to Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And verse 10 says this, finally, my brother, Brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. Look at Paul's words. Paul says, I've got to close. I've got to end this message. But there is something critical that I want to leave with you before I close. And Crossroads Gospel, it's just as critical to us today as it was when Paul was leaving this message for them then. And this is what it shares with you. Now I want you to skip over and go to verse 19. In verse 19, he says this, "And for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." This church wants people to know the mystery of the gospel, that Jesus gave his life, that Jesus died on the cross, but Jesus is alive forevermore, and when you accept him as Lord and Savior, he becomes the sacrifice that ends all other sacrifices, and you can be saved. That's a mystery to the world, isn't it? It remains a mystery until you accept by faith. Isn't that amazing? It's discerned so you can't know it. You've heard me say many times in my testimony that I the preacher that came to my house, Leo, you need to accept Jesus. And I kept saying, I'm not ready. You need to accept Jesus. I'm not ready. Besides that, I want to figure this all out. And when I figure it all out, I'll make my decision. And he said, you will never figure it out. Why? It's because it's discerned. I didn't understand that at the time. But when I accepted Jesus Christ that night, when I went to the altar and said, Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior. I can't do this world anymore. I can't do this life anymore. And I walked away from there thinking, what in the world took me so long? That was so easy to accept Jesus. If only I would accept him. And you know what? He enlightened me by his Spirit. Because the world does not have the Spirit of God. Unless you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you do not have the Spirit of the living God. That Spirit needs to be rebirthed in your life. Amen. It's hard for people to receive, isn't it? Doesn't mean I'm better than you, because I'm not. I love everybody in this church indiscriminately. You know what that means? That means I don't care what your background is. I don't care where you come from. I don't care whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved. I love you. Why do I do that? Because the Lord loves you indiscriminately. He loves you no matter what your background is, whether you've accepted him or whether you have not. He still loves you, but you're making the choice of where you're going to spend eternity at, not him. You condemn yourselves. This church wants to reveal the mystery to people, and that's why we're growing, that's why we're going to continue to grow. We want their parents, when we talk about a school, we want little kids to know the mystery of Jesus. We want their parents to know the mystery of Jesus, that salvation is for all through the Lord Jesus, and you wonder why we can have issues, is because Satan does not like it. He does not like what you're doing as a church. He does not like what you're putting yourself out there on the front lines of this world to bring the gospel to the community. In verse 20, it says this. Ephesians 6, verse 20. Verse 20, for I am an ambassador in chains. Hey, think about that. I'm in chains. I have to share this. I've told people before, you know, they said, well, you think you were ever going to retire? I had retired a long time ago. But there's one reason I haven't retired a long time ago is because the Lord won't let me. He has put me in chains. I am in chains for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as far as I know, I'm going to preach until I leave this earth because I have to do it, because I am called to do it, because I have put myself in bondage of the Lord Jesus. He says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We are ambassadors. How many of you have ever started a school? How many of you have ever started a school? I barely got through school. How many of you have built a church? You are in this world for such a time as this. This is your opportunity, our opportunity, to do something for the kingdom of God that will be spoke more than just countywide. It's going to be spoke in heaven. They have to be saying in heaven. You know what they're doing at Crossroads Gospel Church? They're reaching out as never before because they want to reach little children for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan didn't want this church here. He most certainly doesn't want a Christian school here, and he doesn't want an addition for more people. But I'm telling you, saints, love Jesus, love each other, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Amen. So finally, brethren, to use Paul's words in verse 10, be strong in the Lord. Look at verse 10, Ephesians 6. Verse 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not in your strength, but in his. Verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. In verse 12 and 13, he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And I love this. And having done it all to stand, then keep on standing. I'm going to stand on the Word of God, even when I'm being pushed back. I'm going to stand on the Word of God, even when I'm being knocked down. I'm going to stand. And when He's called me to stand, I'm going to stand. The shield of faith, it talks about. To deflect the fiery darts of the wicked one, the helmet of salvation to protect your mind. The verse 17 is the only offensive weapon that we have as saints today. And when you look at verse 17, it says this, and take the helmet of salvation, and it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? It is the Word of God. How did Jesus defeat the adversary in the wilderness in the book of Matthew in the very beginning? He defeated him by the Word of God. He says, it is written. It is written. And I'm telling Satan today, it is written. The gates of hell shall not prevail against Crossroads Gospel Church. We're coming through. You might as well get out of the way and go pick on somebody else. Amen. It's the only offensive weapon that we have, and it's the only one we need. This church is God's church. This isn't Leo's church, and it's not Carol's church. This work is God's work. Nothing belongs to us. It is all His. You know, I've been in churches that way. Well, don't sit here because that's where so-and-so sits. Don't park here because that's where so-and-so parks. You can't do that because we've always done this, or we've always done that. Pastor Leo doesn't own one thing in this church, and I don't want to own anything in this church. You heard me tell you one time about the lady that gave a crock pot to the church, and every time that we had a fellowship, she always wanted to mention, I gave that crock pot to the church. I gave that crock pot to the church. She had been in four different churches. Every time she went to a different church, she got to give them a crock pot, and when she left, she took that crock pot with her. She never did give it away. Can you imagine that? We can become silly, can't we? No, we don't own anything. This is all God's. This is God's work, and He has just invited you to join Him. And if you'll stand back and stay out of the way, He will do the work. And because it is His, and we recognize that, He, and along with us, because He's going to take us for the ride, will be victorious.